The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gunslinger Hour right here. The Gunslinger Hour.
It is the hour.
Right here on KRLA. I have to do it myself today.
I like to pick that up for you.
RLA. There you go.
That's me doing my best, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, Jimmy is he's on a fact-finding mission.
It's for the good of all mankind.
Yeah, he's out. I think it's his remainder of his birthday week or something. Somebody was supposed to take him somewhere.
Week.
Well, you know, young people.
Am I doing it wrong? Yeah, yeah. It's not really all that exciting anymore, is it?
No, not for me. I dread every single one of them at this point. Anyway.
But you're overlooking the potential discount at Denny's. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. No. Anyway. This is the Gunslinger Hour. I'm Jeff the Gunslinger, owner of Gunslinger's Gun Shop, Gunslinger Auctions, Gunslinger this, that, and the other thing.
For 16 weeks now.
Yeah, or 25 years, one or the other. I don't know. June 1st, 1998. You believe that?
I'm going to have to get a calculator to start doing the math on
that's
that.
That's a 80, lot of decades
geez,
ago.
Geez, that's 25 years, man.
25 years, yeah. This in 2 months or something, yeah.
What have you learned in 25 short years about the firearms industry, Jeff?
Don't open a gun shop in California.
Yeah, you're kind of going through that now.
I mean, every day I get reminded of that. It's been a long, strange trip. What can I say? If you guys remember a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you the story how my landlord gave me 90 days to get the hell out, and then he rescinded and said, no, I'll give you till October. And then, like the wonderful human being that he is, he did it to me again, and he said, nope, I've decided 90 days and out you go. So I think June 9th is our day, and I mentioned on air that I had to go to the mayor of Glendora to talk to some, you know, people, the city council, to get some stuff waived so that I could move to a specific spot, and everything was great and grand, and boy, everything.
He was on your side.
Yeah, and he got it done and everything. And the next day, I got a call from that landlord, and they decided that they were going to go a different way. So, we're not going there. Now, of course, that, you know, sends you back to, okay, here we go, pounding the pavement again. Well, I found a place. I found a place. To talk to Rick from the CRPA about this, and he told me not to mention where it's at until I've signed the lease.
That's ridiculous. And,
you know, because he said, you know, more than likely, the people that listen to you even more than the people that like you are the people that don't like you. And more than likely, somebody raised havoc with the particular new owner of where we were going.
The tolerant left.
Yeah, you know, cancel culture at its best. So we're not going to say where we're going until I sign the lease, and that's supposed to be in the next 2 days. So I'll let you guys know next week what's going on and where we're going to. But for now, just know that we did find a place, but I'm not going to say where.
So your plan is in, what, 30 days from now, people just drive around?
Yeah, apparently.
Looking for a little banner. Are you going to put a balloon on the end of a string or something for
us? Can you imagine living in a house for 25 years and then moving it?
Oh, Lord.
Imagine what it's like for a store that's been in the same spot for...
They've been there 50 years, including, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, including me, because when it was... Before it was me, it was Buckhorn. This has been a gun shop since the 70s. And the guy just said, no, I don't want a gun shop. I tried pleading with him. I tried being nice to him. I tried just about everything you can imagine other than, you know.
Yeah.
I can't even say, you know, offering him more money, because I even did that. And he just wouldn't have it. You know, remember that law after Texas did the their abortion deal, our glorified
pay them back.
Goober governor did some law where you could sue anybody for anything. And of course, it got overturned in like 8.5 seconds. But yeah, this scared my landlord's insurance guy enough that he didn't want to. You know, he told my landlord that you know, I'm too much of a hot button. So he told
you are
me
a
to
hot
get,
button, Jeff.
Right? I've been called a lot of things. A hot button. I don't
is
know.
Is now one of them.
Yeah, yeah, so, apparently so.
And that, is that on your resume?
No, but you know it should be.
Just firearms shop expert, gunslinger owner, radio show host,
hot button. Hey, maybe I get my own commercial. Hot button.
Hey, this is a call-in show, and we're going to be talking about things that Hollywood does right. If you want to call into the show right now, remember, you can call us at 1-866-870-KRLA. That is 1-866-870-5752. We'll put you in the queue. And tell us what you think Hollywood gets right in the films, or who in Hollywood does
it best.
Yeah,
give us a call. You could probably go on for about 2 weeks on what Hollywood does incorrectly
That's shooting fish in a barrel, pardon the shooting.
And that would just be on one movie.
We already done out. No, well, stick it to the good.
Yeah, and these are even you know, movies that you absolutely love. I mean, God bless him, but The Duke, every movie he makes, he uses a Winchester 92. Doesn't matter when he's... You know, the time period is supposed to be like
Civil War. He's
the beloved Searchers. Yeah, it's right after the Civil War, and the Duke's carrying a Colt 1873 along with his Winchester 1892 with the... Actually, you know what? In the Searchers, I don't think he used the big loop.
Didn't he?
No, I don't think he did. You guys, if you're ever watching the Searchers, when the Texas Rangers are first being attacked, they got surrounded, and he asks... Ward Bond, what do you plan to do? I plan to get us unsurrounded. And they take off through the little river and go across, and they're shooting, and Ward Bond runs his pistol dry. And the Duke throws him an extra pistol, and he catches it, and he takes off his hat, and he whips it at him, and he hits the Duke right in the ribs, and the Duke gives him a look. That was so not in the script. Because he, like... Ow, USOB, what was that all about? You know, and then, of course, Ward Bond launches around right into the dirt.
Of course, how did he run out? Because in Hollywood, especially back in that era, it was nearly impossible to run out of ammunition.
Well, yeah,
they
did have belt-fed six shooters back then.
18 rounds. Yeah. Anyway, so the show's focus tonight. There are some people who are really, really skilled gun handlers.
And Hollywood ain't one of them.
But there are some in Hollywood. So we've got our little list, and we want to know who you think has it. And I'll give you a hint. After the first 11 John Wick callers, we are going to have to cut you off on the John Wick, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know.
Keanu's got it going on, man.
He is definitely a shooter and proud of it. I've seen some video of him shooting actual live ammo, and he's doing every bit as good there as he does in the movie. So,
yep.
You know, although he's not doing all the you know, karate moves. And
no CGI, no splitting bullets with a sword.
Yeah, none of that action. Hey, you know what? Let's get to Richard at the airport. Richard, how are you?
Good evening, you Gatlin gunslinger.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I was wondering, when did the shotgun first come out?
Oh, boy. Pretty much right about the time guns came out. The shotgun was probably right there at the same point.
The same time as
any firearm. The shotgun has been around as long as anything.
Boy, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in all the history, I didn't see the shotguns being used till around the 1800s. But that was just what I saw.
Yeah. When you think of the blunderbuss, which is the prototypical pirate weapon,
mm-hmm.
substantially all that was a big bore that you could just pour handfuls of,
whatever.
Of nuts and bolts and screws and
rocks.
And filings and rocks and stuff like that. Yeah, shotguns were very, very popular. And given the relative lack of accuracy with smooth bores, they're all pretty much shotguns. But the British Army used to use what they called a buck and ball. or they would load several bullets down the bore, and so you'd be firing multiple projectiles.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
And they would be one on top of the other?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically a handheld cannon in the beginning. They would put pretty much anything in their rocks, anything that, you know, can cause damage at a uppity speed.
All right. Okay, another question. What do you prefer on a double-barreled shotgun? Do you prefer side by side or overnight?
It really depends on what I'm doing, Richard. You know, for cowboy action, you have to use you can use a 97, but
you shouldn't.
Yeah, you use a side by side. If I'm shooting skeet trap, over under. I just
okay.
Yeah, I'm partial. I have a couple of Perazzis, and it's kind of hard to just say, yeah, I think I'll go get a Browning over or side by side and leave my Perazzis.
I have tried both, and I
yeah,
suck.
Mine.
I suck with both. But I suck less with an over under.
Yeah, it's hard. If again, depending on what you're doing, you know. Oddly enough, if you're coming down a hallway, you broke up on Ms. Richard.
Like an over under.
What's that?
For the most part, you'd rather the over under.
Yeah, but you know,
most folks do.
Yeah, if I was having to go down a hallway to clear out a room. There's just something about a side by side that would get it done, as opposed to an over under, which would literally do the same thing, but it's just not as imposing looking from the front end.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a joke for us tonight?
Yeah, you know, we're coming up to Easter. The Easter Bunny. Which side of the Easter Bunny has more hair?
Which side of the Easter Bunny has more hair?
It has more fur.
More fur.
I have no idea.
The outside.
Oh. Boo. Oh, Richard.
We want to love you, Richard. All
right. Yeah, thanks, Richard. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
He's talking about an Easter joke. I think he laid an egg with that one.
Oh man. Yeah, he dropped a bomb with an egg in it. Anyway, this is the Gunslinger Hour. We'll be back in a minute. We got Rick from the CRPA coming on with some good news, actually, for a change, regarding the roster and a few things that are going on with it. Again, this is the Gunslinger Hour right here on KRLA. We'll be back right after this. Just waiting for something to happen here. Welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Hour, right here on
KRLA Radio 870 Los Angeles.
There you go.
The answer.
That was a lot of them.
Hey, got it.
All right, let's get to Rick at the CRPA. Rick, there we go. How are you, Rick?
Absolutely fantastic. It's a great time to be talking to you guys.
Good news, huh? Dang.
Yeah, I mean, we told you guys, you know, a few months back when Ruin came out that this was, you know, the war, and we've used the metaphor of the war in the Pacific. And, they're making it hard on us, but you know what? We keep winning major battles, and not once, but twice now in 2 weeks. Two different judges, so you can't say it's just one judge going off. We've had incredible rulings. So we now have Judge Carney. We've, of course, had, St. Benitas, as we all love to call him. And we've also had Judge Sabra, who have all looked at the roster in between the initial case, which is our Bolin v. Bonta, and another case that was brought out by the Second Amendment Foundation, which is the Renner v. Bonta case. We have several pieces of great news. So for one, there are now injunctions against the chamber-loaded indicator, which, you know, there were some manufacturers, as you get gems know, that didn't want to do that. And as a result, their firearms can be sold here. They also went after the magazine disconnect mechanism, and the injunctions came out on those. the micro-stamping requirements, which I'm going to spend a little bit more time on, and the 3-for-1, meaning that for every, one gun that was able to come on, 3 would have to be pulled off of the roster. So it's very interesting because, you know, we have already seen Bonta appeal the decision for our case. He'll do the same thing for the Renna case. But what everybody needs to realize is the massive win was he didn't go after the micro-stamping requirement. And now we've argued at CRPA for several years, almost, 7 years now, that the California's Unsafe Handgun Act, called the UHA, which is what led to the state handgun roster, the whole concept behind that was micro-stamping, meaning that when you use the semi-automatic firearm that on the pin, when the firing pin hit, it would leave a unique stamp that said, oh, this was fired by this person who owns this gun. And we have argued for years, you can't do that, it won't work, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Bonta didn't appeal that decision. So as it stands tonight, there is no such thing as micro-stamping even required by law because it was found to be unconstitutional, and the state did not appeal that provision, which means the Unsafe Handgun Act is being torn apart at the seams now by us.
About time.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Why? Because all these firearms, which are perfectly safe in other states and perfectly safe if law enforcement members buy them, are somehow unsafe for California. Yeah.
Well, the reality was, and you guys, both, I'm preaching to the choir when I say this, but the reality is handgun manufacturers and the technology that goes into firearms is constantly changing. I love going to auctions and talking with you guys and talking with you, Jeff, about stuff, but even in the area that I like to play with, which is a little bit more long distance shooting with the rifles, rifle tech has exploded. I mean, it used to be that, grandpa passed it down to your dad and hopefully he passed it down to you and you were damn lucky to get that rifle because it was just a beautiful piece of machinery that never changed.
Right.
That's not true. I mean, since I started, going out and shooting and then my son's coming up and now I've got a grandson and we all talked like, hey, by the time, he's old enough to start shooting long distance, he's not going to want our stuff because
it's so outdated.
Yeah. And when you realize that California's Unsafe Handgun Act has been unsafe for Californians because there are firearms that have been developed for CCW, home defense, and the list goes on, competitive, that are so much safer today than they were a decade ago. But we have not been able to purchase them in the state because they haven't been allowed to be on the roster. So this is a huge step that should free a lot of firearm manufacturers to start distributing those firearms here to get them up because he can no longer be knocked out for not having micro-stamping.
That's excellent.
A huge win.
Then there's the silliness, of course, of Glock. You could only buy Glocks that were made in a foreign country. You couldn't buy an American-made Glock in California, so effectively you're putting American workers out of work to jump through the ridiculous California hoop.
Yeah. So this is and we've got 6 other cases that we should be hearing something any time now. I mean, there's no other actions that can be taken by either side, so we're literally just waiting for rulings to drop. We thought we might see one this last week, but it could be another one this next week. So there are a series of victories, and the state is going to have to start figuring out with this huge deficit it has, what it has the chops to continue to go after. I mean, obviously, being told twice none of these things are constitutional by 3 different judges. Give me a break.
Right.
You got to know that you're on the losing side. But like I said, using that metaphor before, the history of the war in the Pacific was after Midway. Everybody, even historically looking at it, said the war in the Pacific was over. But the Empire of Japan said, no, we're going to fight for a couple more years and make you pay for it everywhere. That seems to be the California governor, attorney general, and senior part of the legislature attitude is, don't tell us we're wrong because we're going to keep fighting, even though they know they're losing.
Well,
and those losses are historic because we just had, you know, normally I come to you guys with the horrible news of gun amends, but, you know, we've watched two firearms bills now be switched to something else. And one of them was directly from this because they were going for increases in micro stamping and they just ditched out the entire bill.
Excellent. So all good news for a change. We really are going to have to get a whole new song for him.
We're not used to hearing you this cheery or bringing this much cheer. You're kind of like Santa Claus right now, buddy.
Well, there's a very personal reason that I shared with Jeff when he was on the way into the show, and that is the children in Sacramento are on recess for the next 10 days.
Yay.
So, yes, enjoying that.
Yeah, Easter vacation, all the kids up in Excremento are all taking recess.
Yeah.
Well, anything else going on, Rick?
Other than I'm going to get to see the inside of my eyelids after this show? Nope. Not
right. What's that like?
You do a lot, buddy. You do a lot. And we appreciate it.
Yep.
No, I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate the thing you're doing, and I appreciate, you know, Jeff, you trying to constantly advance and get, you know, going against the media by, like, trying to come up with your new show, I think is an outstanding move to make, and we need more people like you pushing back and saying, no, you're not going to change our culture. In fact, we're going to double down on it.
Yeah, well, they don't believe, you know, the thing that the right never gets is the left never stops, but the right thinks, well,
yeah,
you know, we've
got
done, yeah, we've got enough, we're fine,
we can walk away.
And no, the old, you give them an inch, they take a mile with the left, you give them an inch, they take 450 miles. So,
well, you know,
ever vigilant. Go ahead.
When God started taking away our firearms back in 1775, which we're coming up on the, what is it? I think it's darn near the 250th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. April 19, baby.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, we've always had to fight in this country, no matter who the government was, to keep their hands off of our firearms.
Mm-hmm.
That is a 250 year, and it was done with 3% of the people doing it, which meant things haven't changed much, Jeff. It's still 97% staying on the fence and 3% of us doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason they fight so hard out here is because they're really the flagship. Everything that happens here moves eastward.
Boy.
And this is why I've been crying for 20 years to, you know, other agencies, well, I won't mention names because they moved to Texas, but, you know, the head of the snake is how you kill it, and it's here.
Yep.
And it goes east. But, you know, what am I, just a dumb radio guy? I don't know nothing.
No, you know quite a bit, and that's part of the reason elections are going to be so important, because we got several of those people trying to move east to D.C. and take positions in there, and them leaving the state's not a good thing. That's a bad thing for the country.
Yeah. Hey, well, what are you going
to
do?
You just couldn't be cheery all the way to the end, could you, Rick? I just you're doing good. You're doing so good.
Well, anyway, folks, we owe so much to the CRPA for what they've done for us in this state. So, Rick, anybody wants to join, donate money, donate their time, how do they get a hold of you?
CRPA.org and questions, contact at CRPA.org. And I really encourage, we're now over 45 local chapters statewide. Looks like we're going to hit 50 by end of summer. And so I encourage people to go to a chapter near you, engage with other people. They do competitions. They do incredible things at the chapter level. And it's your chance to get involved in the local politics and take back the state.
Absolutely.
Boy, I like that. I like that. That's a good kick line. Take back the state.
All right, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
See you later. Okay, we're coming up on a hard break. We've got some phone calls to take. Anybody wants to call in, the number is
1-866-870-KRLA. That is 1-866-870-5752.
We'll get to phone calls right after this. This is the Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
We'll be right back.
of Chicago is the baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
Dancer. One of these days, you know, one of these days they're going to change it to that.
Yeah. The answer?
Right, yeah, the answer. Yeah. Oh, I got your answer right here. What are you talking about? Anyway, okay, as promised, we... hey, RJ, is that spelled right? We've got a name on the thing, and... Okay, Christophilla. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. Hi, this is Jeff. What can we do for you?
Hey, Christopher.
Christopher. Okay. Thanks, Christopher. Yeah. Understand, Jeff is reading off a screen.
That
and
says Christophilla. Okay, anyway. What can we do for you?
I got a question. Mm-hmm. I have a shotgun Citadel.
Uh-huh.
With the little pig on the side. Do you know anything about that gun? And is it a decent quality gun for a first shotgun? The Citadel. It's a semi-automatic.
Most of those are, you'll know better than I, most of those are Turkish made.
Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
Yeah, the Turkish makers are kind of new into the market and are still having a few issues. So it's kind of hard to say. Have you taken out and shot it yet?
No, I just got it.
Okay. I would take it out and try it and of course, go with something low base. You know,
medium velocity loads. Yeah. 1 1/8 ounce a shot, 1,200 feet max.
Yeah, with the low base, the brass at the bottom of the shell. Make sure it's a low base, not a high base.
Okay.
And see how it goes and get back to us next week.
You can give us a review.
Yeah, they're a little bit hit and miss, no pun intended there. Some of them have been great. Some of them have come back several times. So it's kind of hard to say.
What's the nice way of saying they are, they're still in the kind of developmental stage. They're inexpensive shotguns.
Okay.
They use existing technology. However, you're kind of constrained by the build quality and the metallurgy that they're putting into it.
Yeah, we've had some come back pretty mangled. So
wow.
Yeah. And Citadel, they're kind of a company that hires out. I think they have 1911s that are California compliant, and I believe those are Philippine made, right?
Yes. If the Arms Corps, that's a squared away product.
Yeah. But some of these others are still kind of finding their way.
That's a good use of language.
Yeah. So,
but if you get a good one, hey, let us know, man.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Good luck, and let us know what happens with it. Take care. And that opens up a line at
1-866-870-5752.
Okay, and as we were talking, Hollywood and their, I mean, what exactly is it with Hollywood and the gun? They are so infatuated with firearms.
They're fetishizing it, and it's kind of interesting because we know that there are so many people who make a living utilizing firearms on screen who are actually very virulently anti-firearms. So I guess it's no surprise that they fetishize it, but then in the process they cock it up.
Yeah, and boy, do they... As we always say on this show, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Meaning, if you shoot something and it goes flying through the air, that means that the other end is going to do the same. So when you see...
But that's the stuff they get wrong. Let's talk about the stuff they get right. And because I know the scene you're talking about.
Yeah, from Open Range.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
when 15 feet backwards, his feet out from under him.
Yeah, when Bobby D shoots a guy through some wood planks.
And that's after it's gone through the wood.
Yeah, and it goes through wood and then it hits the guy. And that poor stuntman had to have some serious cableage hooked to him because, man, he hits the other side of that wall pretty hard. And again, if that was to really happen, Bobby D would have went flying the other
back
way.
In the other direction.
He would have slid across the floor and got some real big splinters in his rear end. There we go.
All right, so let's talk about the guys that get it right, because surprisingly enough, there are some shooters in Hollywood who really, really do get it right. Like I said earlier, John Wick, Keanu Reeves has trained and trained and trained, and he has turned himself into a really, really proficient shooter.
Yes, he has.
That's an easy one. And there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of CGI and stuff like that. But outside of John Wick, who else is really good? I came up with two big ones. Let's see if you agree with these, okay? Number one, Val Kilmer in the big bank shootout in Heat.
Oh, in Heat, yeah, with a HK-91, no less.
That's the firefight in Heat, and I quote, is the greatest example of fire and movement ever depicted on screen. That shootout is so good that they actually use this clip at the Marine Corps Infantry School and at Fort Bragg for Special Forces training, because it's a great example of these guys work together. One fires, two move. Then the other one moves, two fire. They actually run out of ammunition and have reloads. And one of my favorite scenes, the Val Kilmer character goes down behind a car to one knee while he does the reload, snaps the magazine, whacks it sharply with the palm of his hand, because there's nothing worse than having that magazine drop out after you fired the first shot. Fingers off the trigger, fire and movement, communication like they'd done this before. And that is so good for a couple of reasons. Number one, Michael Mann, the director, really, really gets firearm. Number two, they used an SAS guy to choreograph the shooting sequence. So if this looks like it was done with military precision, that's because
it was.
It was done with military precision. Anyway, to do that, apparently, Kilmer really, really turned himself into a shooter to achieve that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Tom Cruise. Got to be honest, not my favorite actor. But there is a scene in the movie Collateral that is used in training academies everywhere. And if you haven't seen the film, just YouTube it, because I don't care about the rest of the film. There is a scene in which he confronts a couple of tweakers in an alley who have taken his briefcase. And he confronts them, and the number one tweaker walks up to him, points a gun at his head, and says, "Give me your wallet, too." What Cruz does is, with his left hand, he pushes, the guy gets close enough, he pushes the gun away, pulls his, by the way, real insider firearm. In that film, he carries an HK USP in 45 ACP. Bats the gun out of the way, draws his pistol, pulls his arm. This is really, really important. He pulls the push arm into his body so he doesn't shoot his own hand off. If you've ever done the firing from the seat of your pants, the thing they tell you, get your hand in and get your feet down, fires two shots into the bad guy with the gun out before he can even pull the gun back. The other guy draws his pistol. He then has time to extend his arms, and he Mozambiques the other bad guy in 1.3 seconds.
Not bad.
That's, and there's no CGI involved. They use that in gunfighting academies to show you how to do it right.
Very good.
So there are two of my favorites right there.
And we've got Paul from Lakewood. Paul, what can we do for you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Evening.
Yes, I was wondering if you might be able to give me any information on the mechanics of 19th century Walt's 12-shot Navy revolver. It seems to be a beast mechanically, and I wondered if you knew anything about it.
Yeah, well, off the top of my head, I don't, but it looks like
Waltz?
Walsh, W-A-L-C-H?
I believe that's correct.
And it's a 12-shot revolver. That,
yeah.
I'm going to be honest, that stumped the gunslinger. I don't know. Are you Googling her up?
It is a...
No, I'm one of the last three people in California who doesn't have a computer.
You and me both. You and me both.
All right. The Walsh, it's a... I can't imagine our forefathers had to be so freaking tough to survive. And yet the calibers that they were carrying. So the Walsh managed to get 12 shots into a pretty conventionally sized cylinder by the simple expedient of having it be a 32.
Oh. Is it a cap and ball?
Yeah, that's okay. A cap and ball revolver.
Okay, well.
Yes, it is. Cap and ball.
All right.
And I said 32. I'm going to make it a 36,
yeah,
okay?
36 yes. cal, which basically a 36 cal in a black powder gun equals out to about a 380 in today's,
maybe a little bit less because of the slowness of the propellant.
Yeah, and as we all know by now,
9mm on stun. Then
thank you kindly.
But they did it in an interesting way. There's two hammers and there's two triggers on it, which is how they time it and everything like that. That's how did you come up with a Walsh?
I was reading a book recently and heard a reference to it, and I'd never heard of the damn thing.
No, you know what? I bet you if I saw it, I go, oh, that, okay. Because Gunslinger Auctions, we've sold.
I was going to say, have you ever had one?
Everything you can imagine. Likely we have. I just don't recall it off the top. It's been a rough week for me.
Has one of those ever passed through your hands?
Off the top of my head, I don't recall it, but that doesn't mean that we didn't. Understand, we go through
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, several thousand a year or so. So it's hard to remember them
all.
The
chances of it are pretty slender. They made about 200 of them, and there's only a handful that still exists.
Well, we had, I don't think it was a Walsh, though. We had some really weird all-brass revolver, but that was that turret thing, remember?
The turret gun.
Yeah, the turret gun. Looked like it had a hockey puck right in the middle of it with holes that you turn, or you're supposed to turn every time you fire it. And sometimes when it would chain fire and all of
kill everybody in the room.
Yeah. Fun at parties.
Anyway. You gentlemen owe me a donut. I stumped you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul.
Well done, Paul.
Take care. Oh, boy. A Welsh gun. Now I'm going to have to go find one. I tell you what.
I'll add that to your collection, David.
Well, you know, and speaking of auction, May 28th is our next one. Go to gunslingerauctions.com. That's gunslingerauctions.com. And we got all of the descriptions into the catalog, and all they're working on now is just the pictures. So we're thinking end of this week, we'll be done with the catalog. On Facebook, I posted a big thing. We had so many people in working the other day. I went out and bought a bunch of hamburgers and barbecued.
I saw that. That was very, very cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoy barbecuing, and, you know, it beats going to some fast food joint. So
no question.
Anyway.
We got more?
Well, we've got 2 minutes. Real quick, let's get to Rob in Culver City. Rob, what can we do for you? We only got about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just a quick assessment of Benicio del Toro's use of his firearm in Sicario, and whether that's realistic or supernatural. And then the second is, more importantly, a movie line that I have that I'm curious to see if you guys can identify. So I'll try to recreate it as, you know, realistically as I can. And the line is, "We need somebody that's good with a scatter gun to hold down them hayseeds while we go in there and get that cash."
Was that the Beverly Hillbillies granny? What was that? That was quite the accent. Because we're running out of time, tell us what it was from.
Coen Brothers, Gail and Evel. Brothers that escaped prison.
Oh, Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona.
"We need someone that's good with a scatter gun to hold down them high seats while we go in there and get that cash."
You never leave a man behind.
I absolutely love that movie.
Real quick, Sicario is a very, very intense movie, and there are a lot of there's a couple of really outstanding shootout scenes.
I don't know it, and I hate to admit.
If you have a chance.
I've never even heard of it.
That's a time to meet God.
He sits at the dining room table with the, you know, the rival gangster, and just points his gun and shoots the family down, you know, while they're eating at the table. And I thought, that seems like maybe a little bit of a stretch, you know, in terms of his accuracy. So,
the distance.
But he's a trained assassin, apparently, you know. So,
well, you know, in Hollywood, you can do anything with a gun. You can make the bullets bend. You can you never miss. You can hit people's hands while they're moving, drawing a gun. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I thought it might be a little much, but maybe, you know, guys can train themselves to sit at a dinner table and shoot the kids and the wife. you know.
The answer is he does it with a suppressed pistol. He's got a long sight radius on that thing, and he's shooting him from 5 feet. Yeah, that's very, very doable, sad to say.
Well,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's like that's believable.
All right, Rob, we got to get to a break. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
I've been waiting to push that one on you, and I wondered if you'd get it or not. So I'm satisfied that I stumped you.
Very good. Thanks. Take care. Oh, man. Raising Arizona. I love that movie. All right. This is the Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
And we'll be right back.
A love that felt so strong.
Okay. Welcome back.
When that switches to the major, that's a tough one.
Oh, right?
And then the Farfisa organ.
Yeah. It's such a great song. In 1961, I think? Maybe 62. Okay, real quick, let's get to Kathy in Burbank. What can we do for you? How are you?
Hi, Kathy in Burbank.
Really good music.
I know, I know.
I was intrigued with what Rick from the CRPA said about the funds for fighting some of these lawsuits. And I was wondering if you guys know or if you could get him to expand next time he's on about how the process in the state of California for where they get the funds and 'cause it seems like I think something was tried twice and it sounded like it was didn't go too well for the state, but they could just keep doing it and doing it. And so
endlessly deep pockets. Endlessly deep pockets. They're playing with taxpayer money.
Wasted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
So if he could expand on that maybe next time he's on.
Well,
I'll throw that out to him.
Yeah, I will ask him to do so.
Because we listen to you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. That's a good question.
Thanks for the call. Take care. We're almost done.
Well, okay, well, I want to keep running with the
real quick because we just got in another call.
Oh,
so
take
ahead.
The call.
Well, all right, let's go to Brent in L.A. Brent, how are you?
Hello, you hot button gunslingers.
Hot button. And
in light of Biden's Luciferian explosion in trans satanic violence and vengeance on children, senior citizens, police officers,
and
or
ice
any
cream.
American that breathes.
Yeah, he did not cover himself with glory in that one.
We need to impose diverse, inclusive, and equitable gun control for Antifa, KKK, BLM, and CCP-dreaming Democrats. And we have to make it a multiple felony for any of these predators to purchase or possess any firearm, sharp-edged item, bear spray, air horn, umbrella, or assault skateboards.
Let's go after them with the same dedication to duty and law enforcement that they did go after Hunter Biden for lying on his 4473.
or how about the video they have of Joe actually doing the quid pro quo talk, telling everybody how he held up the Ukraine for millions of dollars until they got rid. I mean,
they got rid of the prosecutor.
Yeah, until they got rid of the prosecutor. That's what they went after Trump for, and Trump didn't do it, but Joe actually admits to doing it and nothing. Yeah. I thought once we got the House, I thought that the Republicans would start doing something. But you know what? They're just two sets of pigs waiting for their turn at the trough.
Cozy little old boy network, man. That's why they hated Trump.
Yeah.
He was not a company man.
He came in and said, screw all of this. Let's start draining this swamp. And that's why he got no backing.
There are some fresh new faces. There's hope for the future.
Well, there's got to be hope because without it, we're lost. But the apathy of this nation. Every day, you know, because I can only take it for a couple of minutes. And I'm sorry to talk politics on the show, but, you know, you turn on Fox News and you watch one of the guys and they talk about all of this stuff that's going on. And it's like, what's the point? Nobody's doing anything about it. So why bother?
And that's how you get your apathy.
Yeah. So
and you're caught lying on tape and you can't make it stick.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable, and nobody's doing anything. Like I said, they're just two sets of pigs waiting for their turn to feed.
Like I said, there are some fresh faces. Oh. We need to make sure that they have the support they need.
I hope so. And I'll get off my soapbox now. Go ahead, Brent.
Yeah, no, and I'm just so enraged and I'm so saddened to hear about the difficulties you're having with people who you don't want this incredible service of yours. You know, at no other time in my history have I thought of, you know, gun sellers as being the good guys, as this is a righteous profession at this point, an essential profession.
Well, you should hear some of the messages I've had over the years. After every kind of any type of outdoor shooting where somebody's been hurt or killed, I always get these, you know.
Merchant of death.
Yeah, merchant of death, or I hope the same thing happens to your family, or, you know, I've had stickers put on the wall at the shop. I've had, you know, paintings, you know, hope you die, you name it.
It's just evil what these people do.
Yeah.
And that they can't make the discernment between who is the victim and who is the perp.
Yeah. Well, there.
And then there's the whole punish the object, not the evildoer.
Yeah. Well, if you run over somebody with a car, you are guilty of doing that. If you hit somebody with a ball bat, you are guilty of doing that. But if a firearm is used, it's a gunman.
And the majority of homicides are with hands and fists.
Yeah, yeah.
You're looking for logic where there is none.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
There's a larger and darker agenda.
Yeah, because
anyway.
Because they want us disarmed, because a disarmed human being is a what?
Yeah, you're a subject.
Yep, and an armed human being is
a citizen.
That's right. And they want subjects.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Sit down, shut up, pay your taxes.
Yeah, you don't think that's what this whole gas versus electric? They can turn off your electric. They can't necessarily turn off your gas.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Well, they get a much higher cut of the VIG with electric.
Well, there's that too, yeah. But you know what, though? I cannot wait to get my Trump mugshot T-shirt, because you know it's coming. He's going to use this as martyrdom to the 10th degree. I cannot wait. I'll have his thumbprint on my hat and his and his mugshot on my T-shirt.
Hopefully it'll replace Che Guevara.
Ugh, yeah, because he was such a lovely character. Anyway, Brent, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye. Holy cow, we're almost to the end of the show.
We are, dying. Well, what do you want to do here? Want to get a couple more of the...
Go ahead.
Okay, let's do a couple more. John Milius, the director, because
Excellent.
He got firearms. Wind in the Lion... Best use of historically correct firearms, from the bulldog revolver in the British soldier's hand to the freaking 1897 Winchester shotguns. Okay, Sylvester Stallone. There's a lot of cartoonish single-action shooting in those movies. He really likes his single action, right?
Mm.
But it's not about that. He does a couple of magazine changes. He carries a 1911. And he does a bunch of magazine changes that is a 1911 shooter, and I know you are. You got a freaking Les Bear right here on the table right
what
now.
What movie are we talking about?
We're talking about The Expendables.
Oh, okay.
And his magazine changes are nonpareil. We've had Frank Stallone, his brother, and Frank Stallone is a real genuine bona fide trap and skeet shooter. Can I leave out Harrison Ford with the iconic pulling out the Smith & Wesson model 1917? Some poor British stuntman trained for weeks to get that sword fighting sing, and he reaches down and goes, bang, I got dysentery. I want to get out of here. Halle Berry is apparently the best female shooter in Hollywood. The training that she did for the John Wick series, I've heard a couple of firearms instructors that have worked with her say, if she wanted to stop making millions of dollars a year as a hot actress, she could go on the pro shooting circuit right now and literally make dozens of dollars.
Very good.
Pete Sirico?
Yeah.
Caravans West in Tombstone, which is one of our favorite movies. Mm-hmm. In Tombstone, he supplied his own costume and guns because it was better than what they had. I wanted to do swords real quick, too, because I know the auction carries swords.
Mm-hmm.
And I want three names I got to do here. Okay, number one, Earl Flynn is the real deal.
Uh-huh.
Basil Rathbone, the guy that he kept beating, was actually better than him. I had not known this. I did some homework for the show. He was actually an instructor in swordplay for the British Army. Now, swordplay for the British Army. Okay, well, that is.
And Sherlock Holmes.
And last but not least, the best swordsman in the history of Hollywood. I've had several sword friends. I'm a swordsman as well. Several sword instructors tell me the best swordsman who's ever come through Hollywood was Viggo Mortensen. In that Lord of the Rings sequence, there is a scene in which an orc throws a knife at him. the guy, the man who was throwing the knife was supposed to throw it past him into a tree, and his mask had slipped, and he ended up throwing the knife at Viggo. And Viggo got his sword up, that big frickin' broadsword, that hand and a half of his, gets that thing up and knocked it away. And the director looked at that and said, well, we're keeping that.
Yeah, I would imagine. Was that Mork from Ork? Oh, man. All right, guys. We got 1 minute left.
Tell us about the auction.
Auction May 28th.
And where's it going to be?
It's going to be at the Elks Lodge in the beautiful city of Santa Ana. We're going to start at 9 a.m., guys. We have to be out of the room by 4, so we're going to be starting at 9. We have 700 guns that we're going to sell that day. Going to be interesting. This is the first time we've ever done an auction without bringing the guns. We have 8 big screen TVs all the way around that we'll be showing pictures of. The hall was not real happy about having so many firearms in one spot, so they asked us to not bring them anymore. So we're going to have them on camera.
Literally in better resolution than your eyes will give you.
Yep.
So, but if you wanted to see them anyway.
Yeah, you can come to the shop. That Sunday, the shop will be open. So if you buy anything, you can hustle right over to my orange store and do your paperwork or pick up your pre-98s. And this has been
refining it, man.
Yeah, this has been the Gunslinger Hour. We'll be back next week. Jimmy should be back, and we'll have some fun. You guys have a nice week. I'm going to go home and
practice what? Study the inside of your eyelids?
Yeah, I'm just going to go home and go to bed. I'll see you guys next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.